Chapter 95. Excellence of conveying glad tidings and congratulations. Allah the Exalted says, "So announce the good news to my slaves, those who listen to the word, good advice, La ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped but Allah, and Islamic monotheism, and follow the best thereof. For instance, worship Allah alone, repent to Him, and avoid Taghut 39, 17 and 18. Their Rabb gives them glad tidings of a mercy from Him, and that He is pleased with them, and of gardens, Jannah for them, wherein are everlasting delights. 9:21. But receive the glad tidings of Jannah which you have been promised. 41:30. So we gave him the glad tidings of a forbearing boy. 37:101. And verily, there came our messengers to Abraham, peace be upon him, with glad tidings, 11:69. And his wife was standing there, and she laughed, either because the messengers did not eat their food, or for being glad for the destruction of the people of Lot, peace be upon him. But we gave her the glad tidings of Isaac, peace be upon him, and after Ishaq, of Jacob, peace be upon them. 11:71. Then the angels called him while he was standing in prayer in Al-Mihrab, a praying place or a private room, saying, Allah gives you glad tidings of Yahya, John, peace be upon him. 3:39. Remember when the angel said, O Maryam, Mary, verily Allah gives you the glad tidings of a word, be, and he was, i.e., Isa, Jesus, peace be upon him, the son of Maryam. From him, his name will be the Messiah, Isa, peace be upon him. 3:45. 7:08. Abdullah bin Abu Awfa radiallahu anhu reported, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, gave glad tidings to Khadija radiallahu anha about a palace of hollowed pearls in Jannah, free from noise and toil. Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. This hadith throws light on the excellence of Khadija radiallahu anha and also mentions the glad tidings given to her by the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, about her blissful place in a heavenly abode in the hereafter. 7:09. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu reported, one day I performed my wudu in my house and then set forth with a determination that I would stick to the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, and spend the whole day with him. I came to the mosque and asked about him. The companions told that he, peace be upon him, had gone in a certain direction. Abu Musa added, I followed him inquiring until I came to Bir Aris, a well in the suburb of Al-Madinah. There, I sat down at the door till he, peace be upon him, had relieved himself and performed wudu. Then I went to him and saw him sitting on the platform of the well with his shanks uncovered and his legs dangling in the well. I greeted him and returned to the door of the garden, saying to myself, I will be the doorkeeper of the Messenger of Allah today. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came and knocked at the door. I said, who is that? He said, Abu Bakr. I said, wait a moment. Then I went to the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, and said, O Messenger of Allah, Abu Bakr is at the door seeking permission to enter. He said, admit him and give him the glad tidings of Jannah. I returned and said to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, you may enter, and the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, has given you the glad tidings of entering Jannah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came in and sat down on the right side of the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, and suspended his legs into the well and uncovered his shanks as the Messenger of Allah had done. I returned to the door and sat down. I had left my brother at home while he was performing wudu and intending to join me. I said to myself, if Allah intends good for him, i.e. to be blessed to come at this time and receive the glad tidings of entering Jannah, he will bring him here. Someone knocked at the door and I said, who is it? He said, Umar bin al-Khattab. I said, wait a moment. Then I proceeded towards the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him. I greeted him and said, Umar is at the door seeking permission to enter. He said, let him in and give him the glad tidings of entering Jannah. I went back to Umar radiallahu anhu and said to him, Messenger of Allah has given you permission as well as glad tidings of entering Jannah. He entered and sat down with the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, on his left side and dangled his feet into the well. I returned to the door and sat down and said to myself, "If Allah intends good for my brother, he will bring him here." Someone knocked at the door and I said, "Who is it?" He said, "Uthman bin Affan." I said, "Wait a moment." I went to the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, and informed him about his arrival. He said, "Let him in and give him glad tidings of entering Jannah together with the tribulation which he will have to face." I came back to him and said, "You may enter, and the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, gives you the glad tidings of entering Jannah together with the tribulation that will afflict you." He got in and saw that the elevated platform round the well was fully occupied. So he sat on opposite side of Sayyid bin al-Musayyib, radiallahu anhu. A sub-narrator has reported, the order in which they sat down indicated the places of their burial, al-Bukhari and Muslim. Another narration adds, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu said, the Prophet, peace be upon him, ordered me to guard the door. When Uthman was told about the misfortune, he praised Allah and then said, Allahu musta'an, his help is to be sought. The interpretation of Sayyid bin al-Musayyib is that the graves of Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma are by the side of the Prophet, peace be upon him, in the same position they took when they sat next to the Prophet, peace be upon him, while the grave of Uthman is away from their graves in the public graveyard of Al-Madinah known as Baqi al-Gharqad. Commentary. This hadith brings 4 points under our consideration. First, in certain cases, a glad tiding is given about the future life. Second, the Prophet, peace be upon him, himself gave the good news to the first 3 rightly guided khulafa, caliphs, that they would go to Jannah. Now, only an inborn wretch can doubt their faith. Third, the riot foretold by the Prophet, peace be upon him, with regard to Uthman radiallahu anhu, took place in the concluding days of his caliphate. Influenced by the wicked and baseless propaganda of a Jew, Abdullah bin Sabah, a splinter group blockaded Uthman's house and finally put him to death. The incident reveals the Prophet's truthfulness. Fourth, things are also interpreted while one is awake, and the power of intuition is of course the basis of such a state. Yet, a vision is not necessarily commensurate with the external reality in all cases. However, the first 2 caliphs, as envisioned by Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, are eternally resting along with the Prophet, peace be upon him, in Aisha's room, while Uthman radiallahu anhu is buried in the Al-Madinan graveyard of Baqi al-Gharqad. 710. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported, we were sitting in the company of the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, and Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhum were also present. All of a sudden, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, got up and left us. When he was late to return to us, we began to worry lest he should meet with trouble in our absence. I was the first to be alarmed and set out in search of him until I came to a garden belonging to Banu Najjar, a section of the Ansar. I went round it looking for an entrance, but failed to find one. However, I saw a stream of water flowing into the garden from a well outside. I drew myself together like a fox and slinked into the place and reached the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him. He said, is it Abu Huraira? I replied in the affirmative. He asked, what is the matter with you? I replied, you were sitting with us and then you left us and delayed for a time. Fearing you had met with some adversities, we got alarmed. I was the first to be alarmed. So when I came to this garden, I squeezed myself like a fox and these people are coming behind me. He, the Prophet, peace be upon him, gave me his sandals and said, O Abu Huraira, take these sandals of mine, and whoever you meet outside this garden testifying that La ilaha illallah, there is no true God except Allah, being assured of it in his heart, give him the glad tidings that he will enter Jannah. Abu Huraira then narrated the hadith in full. Muslim. Commentary. As explained earlier in detail, a believer will definitely go to Jannah provided he or she sincerely believes in Allah without associating anyone with his divinity. Either he or she is very likely to be admitted to Jannah in the first stage or otherwise after being chastised, depending on his or her sins. His eternal abode will be in Jannah and not in hellfire, inshallah. 711. Ibn Shumasa reported, We visited Amr bin al-As radiyallahu anhu when he was in his deathbed. He wept for a long time and turned his face towards the wall. His son said, O father, did not the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, give you the good news of such and such? Did he not give you glad tidings of such and such? Then he, Amr, turned his face towards us and said, The best thing which you can count upon is the affirmation that, La ilaha illallah, there is no true God except Allah, and that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the Messenger of Allah. I have passed through three phases. I remember when I hated none more than I hated the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, and there was no other desire stronger in me than that of killing him. Had I died in that state, I would have definitely been one of the dwellers of fire, hell. When Allah instilled the love for Islam in my heart, I went to the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, and said, Extend your right hand so that I pledge allegiance to you. He, peace be upon him, stretched out his right hand, but I withdrew my hand. He said, What is the matter, Amr? I said, I wish to lay down same conditions. He asked, What conditions do you wish to put forward? I replied, To be granted forgiveness. He said, Do you not know that embracing Islam wipes out all that has gone before it, previous misdeeds? Verily, emigration wipes out all previous sins, and the Hajj, pilgrimage, wipes out all the previous sins. Thereafter, no one was dearer to me than the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, and none was more respectable than him in my eyes. So bright was his splendor that I could not gather enough courage to look at his face for any length of time. If I were asked to describe his feature, I would not be able to do so because I have never caught a full glimpse of his face. Had I died in that state, I could have hoped to be one of the dwellers of Jannah. Thereafter, we were made responsible for many things, and in the light of which I am unable to know what is in store for me. When I die, no mourner nor fire should accompany my bier. When you bury me, throw the earth gently over me and stand over my grave. For the space of time within which a camel is slaughtered and its meat is distributed, so that I may enjoy your intimacy and in your presence ascertain what answer can I give to the messengers of my Rabb, the angels in grave. Muslim. Commentary. This hadith tells us about three phases of the life of Amr bin al-As radiyallahu anhu, that is, pre-Islamic period, post-faith period, and the governorship period. Of the last one, when he shouldered heavy responsibilities, he feared that he might have committed some lapses, and for that he might be subjected to accountability before Allah. The hadith invites our attention to the following points. First, Amr's vehement hostility of pre-faith days was transformed into intense love for the Prophet, peace be upon him, upon embracing Islam. Second, the greatness of the Prophet, peace be upon him, was ingrained in the companions' hearts. Third, the fear of error and the hope of divine mercy may cause one to shed tears at the moment of death. Fourth, it is desirable on the part of relatives and friends to do something for the comfort of a dying person by giving him the glad tidings of Allah's mercy. Fifth, Islam wipes out all previous sins, but afterwards, life should be led according to the dictates of true faith. In the same way, the minor sins are pardoned on account of hijrah and hajj, but a sincere repentance with all its conditions is indispensable to the remission of major sins. Sixth, lamentation over a dead body is forbidden. Seventh, one may desirably make a will before death, particularly with regard to the anti-Sharia heresies and rights to which the bereaved people are likely to take recourse. Eighth, there is an affirmation of the orthodox belief that Munkir and Nakir, two angels, appear in the grave and question the dead person about his or her religious beliefs. Ninth, to stand over the grave and to pray for the salvation of the dead person is a desirable act, as the dead person enjoys the intimacy and the visit of the righteous to his grave. This hadith therefore recommends believers to pray for the firmness of the dead person.